Random House Audio presents Showdown at Yellow Butte by Louis L'Amour. Read for you by Jason Culp. Chapter 1. Everything was quiet in Mustang. 3 whole days had passed without a killing. The townfolk, knowing their community, were not fooled. They had long since resigned themselves to the inevitable. In fact, they would be relieved when the situation was back to normal, a killing every day, more on hot days. Several days without deadly gunplay built up a mounting tension that was unbearable. Who would be next? Moreover, with Clay Allison, who had killed 30 men, playing poker over at the Morrison house, and Black Jack Ketchum, who richly deserved the hanging he was soon to get, sleeping off a drunk at the St. James, trouble could be expected in the very near future. The walk before the St. James was now cool, and Captain Tom Kedrick, a stranger in town, sat in a well-polished chair and studied the street with interested eyes. He was a tall young man with rusty brown hair and green eyes, quiet-mannered and quick to smile. Women never failed to look twice, and when their eyes met his, their hearts pounded, a fact of which Tom Kedrick was totally unaware. He knew women seemed to like him, but it never failed to leave him mildly astonished. The street he watched was crowded with buckboards, freight wagons, a newly arrived stage, and one about to depart. All the hitch rails were lined with saddled horses, wearing a variety of brands. Kedrick, suddenly aware that a young man stood beside him, glanced up. The fellow was scarcely more than a boy, and he had soft brown eyes and hair that needed cutting.
"Captain Kedrick," he inquired. "John Gunter sent me. I'm Dorney Shaw."
"Oh, yes." Kedrick got to his feet, smiling, and thrust out his hand. "Nice to know you, Shaw. Are you working for Gunter?" Shaw's brown eyes were faintly ironic.
"With him," he corrected. "I work for no man."
"I see." Kedrick did not see at all, but he was prepared to wait and find out. There was something oddly disturbing about this young man, something that had Kedrick on edge and queerly alert. "Where's Gunter now?"
"Down the street. He asked me to check and see if you were here, and if you were, to ask you to stick around close to the hotel. He'll be along soon."
"All right. Sit down, why don't you?" Shaw glanced briefly at the chairs.
"I'll stand. I never sit in no chair with arms on them. Apt to get in the way."
"In the way?" Kedrick glanced up, and then his eyes fell to the 2 guns Shaw wore, their butts hanging wide. "Oh, yes, I see." He nodded at the guns. "Town Marshal doesn't object?" Dorney Shaw looked at him, smiling slowly.
"Not to me, he don't. Wouldn't do him no good if he did. Anyway," he added after a minute, "not in Mustang. Too many hard cases. I never seen a marshal could make it stick in this town."
Kedrick smiled. "Hickok? Earp? Masterson?"
"Maybe." Dorney Shaw was openly skeptical. "But I doubt it. Allison's here, so's Ketchum. Billy the Kid's been around, and some of that crowd. A marshal in this town would have to be mighty fast and prove it every day."
"Maybe you're right." He studied Shaw surreptitiously. What was it about him that was so disturbing? Not the 2 guns, for he had seen many men who wore guns, had been reared among them, in fact. No, it was something else, some quality he could not define, but it was a sort of lurking menace, an odd feeling about such a calm-eyed young man.
"We've got some good men," Shaw volunteered after a minute. "Picked up a couple today. Laredo Shad's going to be one of the best, I'm thinking. He's a tough hand, and gun-wise is all get-out. 3 more come in today, Fessenden, Poinsett, and Goff."
Obviously, from the manner in which he spoke, the names meant much to Shaw, but they meant exactly nothing to Kedrick.
Fessenden seemed to strike some sort of a responsive note, but he could not put a finger on it. His eyes strayed down the street, studying the crowd.
You think they'll really fight? He asked, studying the street. Are there enough of them?
That bunch? Shaw's voice was dry. They'll fight all right. You got some tough boys in that outfit. Engine scrappers and such like. They won't scare worth a dern.
He glanced curiously at Kedrick.
Gunter says you're a fighter.
Was that doubt in Shaw's voice? Kedrick smiled, then shrugged. I get along. I was in the army, if that means anything.
Been west before?
Sure. I was born in California, just before the rush. When the war broke out, I was 16, but I went in with a bunch from Nevada. Stayed in a couple of years after the war, fighting Apaches.
Shaw nodded, as if satisfied. Gunter thinks well of you, but he's only one of them, and not the most important one.
A short, thick-set man with a square-cut beard that made him look enough like General Grant to be his twin was pushing through the crowd toward them. He even smoked a thick black cigar. The man walking beside him was tall as Kedrick, who stood an easy inch above 6 feet. He had a sharply cut face, and his eyes were cold, but they were the eyes of a man born to command, a man who could be utterly ruthless. That would be Colonel Loren Keith. That meant there was still one left he had to meet, Berwick. The three were partners, and of the three, only Berwick was from the area. Gunter smiled quickly, his lips parting over clenched white teeth that gripped his cigar. He thrust out his hand.
Good to see you, Kedrick. Colonel, this is our man. If there ever was a man born to ramrod this thing through, this is the one. I told you of that drive he made for Patterson. Took those cattle through without losing a head. Rustlers and Comanches be danged.
Keith nodded, his cold eyes taking in Kedrick at a glance.
Captain, that was an army title, Kedrick?
Army, the war between the states.
I see. There was a Thomas Kedrick who was a sergeant in the fighting against the Apaches.
That was me. All of us went down some in rank after the troops were discharged.
How much time in the war?
Keith's eyes still studied him.
4 years and 2 campaigning in the Southwest.
Not bad. You should know what to expect in a fight.
His eyes went to Kedrick's, faintly mocking.
I have 12 years myself, regular army.
Kedrick found that Keith's attitude irritated him. He meant to say nothing, but suddenly he was speaking.
My American Army experience, Colonel, was only part of the story. I was with Bazaine at the defense of Metz in the Franco-Prussian War. I escaped and was with McMahon at the Battle of Sedan.
Keith's eyes sharpened and his lips thinned. Kedrick could feel the sharp dislike rising in the man.
Is that all?
He asked coolly. Why, no, since you ask, it was not. I was with Wolseley in the Second Ashanti War in Africa, and I was in the 2-year campaign against the Tungans of northern Tian Shan with the rank of general.
You seem to get around a good bit, Keith said dryly. A genuine mercenary.
Kedrick smiled, undisturbed.
If you like. That's what you want here, isn't it? Men who can fight? Isn't it customary for some men to hire others to do their fighting for them?
Colonel Keith's face flamed, then went white. But before he could speak, a big, square-faced man thrust himself through the crowd and stopped to face them.
You is it, Gunter? The man cried. Well, I've heard tell the reason why you're here, and if you expect to take from hard-working men the land they've slaved for, you better come a-shooting.
Before anyone could speak, Dorney slid between Keith and Gunter and fronted the man.
You looking for trouble? You want to start your shooting now?
His voice was low, almost a purr, but Kedrick was startled by the shocked expression on the man's face. He drew back, holding his hands wide.
I wasn't bracing you, Dorney. Didn't even know you was around.
Then get out,
Dorney Shaw snarled, passion suddenly breaking through his calmness. Passion and something else, something Kedrick spotted with a shock,
the driving urge to kill.
"Get out," Shaw repeated, "and if you want to live..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?